Time now for international matters. Well, the World Blind Union is an organisation which represents at the highest political levels the hopes, the aspirations and indeed campaigns for blind and partially sighted people via charities around the globe. So we thought we'd speak with Fred Schroeder, their president, to find out what are the big topics this year? What things are they campaigning on? What's been working well? And we have Fred with us now. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Alan. It's a real pleasure to be with you.
You represent charities around the globe. So presumably then with the charities behind you and yourself, that's quite a powerful voice.
We do our best. So our membership includes charities, meaning organizations that are service providers, but we also have individual blind membership organizations. So it's the consumer voice together with the providers.
What about some of the big projects then? Because we think of sight loss, it is a global issue and there are many global, I suppose, similar problems, if you like, although probably different degrees of problem depending on what country you're in.
Absolutely, Alan. The overarching problem really comes down to low expectations. The assumption that blind people are dependent and will always be dependent. And if we start with that mindset, then why would you spend resources to educate blind children if they only have the possibility of a lifetime of dependency? And why would you try to hire a blind person if you presume that that person is dependent and incapable of work? So, of course, as you point out, conditions vary a great deal around the world, but dealing with that social stigma or low expectation is really at the heart of the difficulties that we face. Our greatest, most recent achievement is that as of January 4 of this year, the United Nations will now recognize World Braille Day. And at one level, it is symbolic, of course, but it also allows us throughout the world to use that UN designation to try to raise public awareness, first around Braille, but really Braille as that building block or foundation to education and employment. So that's been a great achievement.
So that recognition, that's quite a big thing then?
It is. It is not easy to get the United Nations to designate a particular day, and we owe a great debt of gratitude to Ambassador Aubrey Webson from Antigua Barbuda. He is blind, and he has been a great leader internationally in the blindness movement. And now in his role as ambassador, he championed the establishment of World Braille Day.
We think of Braille, you know, we're in the 21st century, technology tends to come to the fore. But when you think about the benefits that Braille has for literacy, for reading, for writing, and indeed probably for developing countries as well, it's a hugely important medium for communication and for learning.
Absolutely. Of course, I use speech technology on my computer, as do many blind people, but there are some things that really cannot be done efficiently without Braille. And I think in the education world of the technical fields, mathematics and science, if you're trying to learn computer coding, these are all things it's possible to do them without Braille, but it is not easy to do them without Braille. And so we don't see Braille as antiquated by any means. We see technology as an adjunct or an additional resource for gathering information. But Braille is literacy.
Some of the big things we've spoken about in the past, Fred, have been the Marrakesh Treaty, allowing the sharing of accessible literature across the globe. I think we've even touched on campaigns for noise generators to be in silent and hybrid vehicles. So again, you know, these are very big global issues.
Marrakesh, we're making tremendous progress. With the Marrakesh Treaty, we now have over 80 countries that have ratified as a result of the EU ratifying the treaty. The U.S. has gone through all the steps for ratification. We're just waiting on the State Department to deposit the ratification document with the World Intellectual Property Organization. But with the EU and the U.S., joining the treaty, the supply of accessible books will increase dramatically. So we're looking forward to a time when there will be hundreds of thousands of accessible books that can be shared across national borders.
And when we look to the technology side of things, in the UK at the moment, we are learning that Jaguar Land Rover have now committed, they've been working with Guide Dogs here, their new I-Pace SUV, which is an electric vehicle, will have audio on board, so people will be able to hear the vehicle. They've worked on a sound that people can easily hear, and importantly, I think, as far as I'm concerned, is the drivers are not able to switch off this audio. So that's a great step forward.
You're exactly right. This is all part of the negotiations we've done with the UN over the past 6 or 8 years now to try to have an international standard for alert devices on these very quiet vehicles. And one of the real stumbling blocks was what was being called a driver-activated on-off switch. And the first concession we got is they said, well, okay, rather than letting the driver turn it off, what about letting the driver pause the sound so that if you're stuck in a traffic jam, you could turn the sound off? And, you know, that sounds very reasonable. The problem is, how do you know that the driver will turn it back on again when it's needed? So this was something that we worked on very hard. I don't want to get your listening audience falling asleep here with all the technicalities, but under a thing called the 58 agreement, we were able to get the on-off or pause switch removed from that standard. So these manufacturers will not be allowed to include technology that lets the driver turn off the alert sound.
If I was a driver of an electric vehicle, Fred, I think if I was in a traffic jam, I would switch the engine off anyway, to be honest, not just the noise. There's some big projects, some big topics here, which have a global impact and a global influence as well. What about through the rest of the year as well? What kind of things is WBU involved in, or will they be involved in?
I'll be in Geneva for a meeting with the people who set automobile standards, because the next big frontier are these autonomous vehicles. And autonomous vehicles offer tremendous opportunity for blind people, but accessibility has to be thought about and designed at the very beginning stages. In other words, if an autonomous vehicle pulls up to your door and you get in it and there's a touch screen to tell it where to go, and that touch screen isn't accessible, then of course now we're back to retrofitting and trying to make changes. We want to make sure accessibility is built in at the front end, and it includes being able to operate the vehicle, but some other things as well. Some of these ride-hailing services are looking at autonomous vehicles, and again, I can certainly see the advantage of that, but if I'm standing out in front of a hotel and there are taxis and vans and various vehicles all piled up there, and my autonomous ride pulls up, how do I know where it is? And these are not insurmountable issues, but they take planning. So we're working on that. Our other big initiative for this year is working on smart cities. And that's something people will be hearing much more about as time goes on. One of the things that we're very excited about, our 2020 General Assembly, that's our World Assembly, will be held in Madrid in mid-June, and would certainly encourage people who have an interest to come. In addition to the formal work of the assembly, there'll be a big technology exhibition. And we look at policy, and in this case, we'll be looking at the progress of our work on these various initiatives, the Marrakesh implementation, the alert sound for very quiet vehicles, the autonomous vehicles, smart cities, all the things that we've talked about today. It's a chance for people from around the world to come together, discuss the pressing issues that have an impact on the lives of blind people, and develop common strategies for advocacy and other interventions. So all of those topics will be held, and many others. Of course, education continues to be of prime interest, employment of adults, outreach to seniors, and making sure that seniors have the opportunity for maximum independence. So Pretty much, Alan, anything that touches the lives of blind people, we'll be talking about.
Sounds like an interesting event. Fred, we're almost out of time, but if people would like to learn more about the World Blind Union, what's the best way to do that?
Go to our website, www.wbu.ngo. We also have a publication, a bi-monthly publication that we call the e-bulletin, and those are available on the website, so please visit our website and lend your voice to our collective voice.
Fred, pleasure chatting to you as always. Hopefully we'll catch up with you again a bit later in the year for more news from the World Blind Union. But in the meantime, thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Alan.